Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll read verses 24 through 27 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for these hundreds and yea, well over 1,000 people that are here today, focused on you. Lord, thank you that as we learned in Sunday school this morning, your hand is upon this place. And your hand is upon our man of God, our preacher. Father, I pray that you'd fill our preacher with your power today. Fill us with the Holy Spirit as we listen. May our ears be tuned to him as he has been walking with you this week, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Brett, you can turn the CD off now. They couldn't get the song down live, so they lip-synced the whole thing. But what a good job they did. I hope you love him. I hope you love him. This morning, my sermon is entitled, Seeing the One Who Cannot Be Seen. Seeing the One Who Cannot Be Seen. I was so pleased when the choir sang their special today, I See the Lord. Never do we get together and coordinate the sermon with the specials. We don't get together and coordinate the sermon with any of the music. God does the coordinating in regard to that. That's always an extra bonus when the music and the sermon fit hand in hand. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, it says, By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect and the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, and fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. This passage in Hebrews speaks of the great man that we have preached about many times, a man named Moses. His humble beginning was when he was born into a poor slave-like family during a very dangerous time. This little boy, an infant, his mother placed him into a basket and floated him up the river, hoping to spare his life. That because he would be put to death if his life was not spared miraculously. As he floats up the river, he's found and he is taken into Pharaoh's house by Pharaoh's daughter, the very one who would have put him to death. This little boy who has now been spared is growing into an adult man. While he's growing, he is raised in a life of luxury. In Pharaoh's house, he is raised and under Pharaoh's leadership. Moses had available to him wealth and power and position, and all the good things of life. Moses grows up and he must make a decision. He makes a decision to leave all the luxury of Pharaoh's lifestyle and go and serve God. You see, Moses was a part of the people who Pharaoh had in captivity. And Moses, he realized that those are my people that are being treated poorly, and I must either choose to stay here in a life of luxury in Pharaoh's house, or I must go and serve God and serve my people. And he said, I will give up everything, and I will go and serve my God and serve his people. You say, Brother Owens, how did he make such a difficult decision? How could he give it all up? All the luxury, all the fame, all the wealth, all the power. How could he give it all up to go into virtually a life of poverty? How could he give it all up? I ask you, Moses, how in the world did you make the decision to leave the palatial palace of Pharaoh, the wealth, the fame, the luxury, the food? How in the world, Moses, I ask you today, how did you do that? And according to Hebrews chapter 11, he would say, Brother Owens, I have seen the one who can't be seen. That's what it says here. It says, as seeing him who is invisible. Nobody that's saved lasts long term in Christianity unless they get a glimpse every once in a while of the one who you can't see. The Bible even says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, it says of Moses, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured. You say, how did he take it? He'd seen Jesus. How did he keep on going? He had seen Jesus. How did he make the difficult decision? He endured because he had seen the one that you can't see. Moses later sees him who cannot be seen in a burning bush on the backside of the desert. Saul, in the New Testament, soon to become Paul. Saul saw him who cannot be seen on the Damascus road. Stephen, the man who would be stoned. Stephen saw him who cannot be seen while he was being stoned to death outside of Lystra. Three young men, Hebrew young men by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw him who cannot be seen while they were thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. You see, they had built an image, and that image was an image of a false god and a false leader. These three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were told, if you don't bow down when you hear the instruments and worship this image, this false god, you are going to be burnt to death. And the boys said, we don't bow, I guess we'll have to burn. They had loved God. They were committed to God. The instruments began to play. Everybody throughout the kingdom began to fall down and worship the false god that they'd been commanded to worship. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we bow down to no one but Jesus Christ. The soldiers came and said, we're going to arrest you, and we're going to put you in the burning fiery furnace. And they did. They stoked up the furnace hotter than ever before. The men, the soldiers that were casting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, they were consumed just in casting these three men into the furnace. And so, here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in a burning, fiery furnace. And the king came. He looked into that burning, fiery furnace. He said, there's Shadrach. There's Meshach. There's Abednego. They are not being consumed. And the king said, but didn't we throw three men into the furnace? Someone said, yes, we did. And the king said, I see a fourth man in the furnace, and it seems as if it's the Son of God. What had happened? They had seen the one you can't see. They seen him in the furnace. Jacob saw him who you cannot see while wrestling at midnight. Daniel saw him who cannot be seen while he was in the lion's den. The great Isaiah saw him who cannot be seen when the king named Uzziah died. And Isaiah said, I saw the Lord and holy and lifted up. I'm not talking about like Oral Roberts claimed to see. Oral said he seen a 100-foot tall Jesus. I believe Oral had evidently had anchovies on his pizza, and that's what caused that. The Bible tells us that John, the Apostle John, saw him who cannot be seen while John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos when the invisible one gave to John the book of Revelation. Our God is a spirit, but there are special times when his presence is very real to us as if we see him. I don't know why you come to church. There are a lot of people that come to church for a lot of reasons. Some of you come just because your friends are here. I come because my ultimate friend is here, Jesus Christ. Some come out of ritual. I come to see the one that cannot be seen. Some come because it's just your habit to come. And I'm glad that you do. But I'm going to tell you something. When my car pulled onto this property, when Sunday morning rolls around, when finally we step into the pulpit, I come to see the one that you cannot see. People often say, Brother Owens, in your preaching, you tell us how do you mentally approach it. I can tell you a little bit about how I mentally approach every sermon that I preach. My preaching's purpose is to help you to see the one that cannot be seen. Oh, do I want him to be seen? Oh, do I want him to be lifted up and exalted? I call the sermon Seeing the One Who Cannot Be Seen. You say that excites me, that thrills me, then maybe I need to tell you how you go about seeing the one that cannot be seen. For instance, number one, in times of heartbreak, you may see the one that cannot be seen. The Bible says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. It says nigh. What's that mean? Up close. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. The Bible, the people in the Bible who saw him, who cannot be seen, were people with broken hearts. Say, well, Owens, I'd just like to see the one that can't be seen. Are you willing to travel the journey down the road of a broken heart to get up close to the one who can't be seen? The times in my life when I have seen him who cannot be seen is when my heart was broken the most. My tears ran down my face. And as I was clearing them, I looked in the distance and I said, oh, look who I see. Oh, but you want to see him who cannot be seen? It may be that it'll cost you a broken heart. You see, this then gives us a wonderful bonus during the time of heartbreak. Those of you who have seen him who cannot be seen, let me ask you a question. When did you see him? There are people here, you say, Brother Holmes, I know there have been times when God has revealed himself to me in a special and a powerful and a holy way. Let me ask you then, when did you see him? I'll promise you, there are people after people after people in this building that would say, I remember, Brother Holmes, when I saw him, it's when my heart was broken. Was it a time in the happiness of life? Not usually. Was it a time when there was plenty of money? No, not usually. Was it when you were healthy? No. Was it when you were laughing? No. I can tell you, usually you see the one that cannot be seen when your heart is broken. It's when your heart was heavy. The great thing about needing him is that he will be there when you need him. We so often truly don't need him as a passion when everything's good. I'm not glad when we go through hard times, but let me tell you something. Every broken heart can produce the result of seeing him who cannot be seen. Stephen, the great man of the New Testament, he is outside the city of Lystra. And outside the city of Lystra, he's about to be stoned to death for the cause of Jesus Christ. Stephen looked around. His heart is broken. If you know the story, he thought there were some people around him that were possibly his friends, but they had turned on him. He had done right, but evil people had done him wrong. A city that he had tried to help had now become his enemy. You know, the Bible says people were casting stones and beating this good man to death. They were killing him. They were destroying him. And the Bible says that Stephen looked into heaven, and you know what he saw? God opened up the heavens, and the Bible says that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. What had happened? Stephen was going through a time of great heartbreak and great heartache. And what happened? Jesus showed up and said, let me give you a glimpse. Let me help you to keep on going. Let me help you not to turn back. Hey, forsaken mother, worn out from doing double duty, being both mom and dad, I say to you, look to He who cannot be seen. And I promise you, He wants you to see Him at this time in your life. If your heart is broken today, look up! You may see the One that cannot be seen. There's somebody that sits here today and your heart is crushed from an unwanted divorce. But it may be that if you'll look closely, you may see Him who cannot be seen. Those of you that are brokenhearted over the death of a loved one, can I recommend something to you? And I really, really believe this. We talk about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Let me tell you all something. When somebody you love is nearing death, you, if I were you and your heart is broken, you'd be looking real carefully because there's somebody nearby that wants you to be close to you in a special way as your heart breaks from the death of somebody that you love. I look back here and see Mr. Chrisman. It's not been many months ago his dear wife went on to be with the Lord. Mr. Chrisman, look to Jesus. You may see the One that cannot be seen. Brother Buck, you may see the One that cannot be seen. When you lose somebody that you love, when you lose somebody that is dear to your heart, there's only One that you can really look to that's going to do all that you need done down deep in that heartbroken heart of yours. Look to Jesus. Look for the One that people can't see. Oh, those that are brokenhearted over death, you may see Him who cannot be seen. Somebody here, you that are maybe a laid off employee from a job, and you thought that that job would carry you all the way through retirement, could I recommend you may have the chance to see Him who cannot be seen. I was thinking this week, I had a little bit of time and got to grab a cup of coffee with my dear friend, Brother Jim Dula. Boy, the family's just been through a lot lately. Phone rang some days ago, and Mrs. Dula's mama was undergoing heart surgery. We'd been praying, and she was on the table. My phone rang. I picked it up. I talked to Brother Dula. And he said, Preacher, he was crying. He said, Preacher, the doctor just came out and said she's dying, and unless there's a miracle, we need to say goodbye to her. I said, I'll pray. He said, I'm going to call some others, and he called. He called me back a little later. He said, I can't believe it. The doctor came back out and said, just after we came out, things started to turn around a bit. You'll get to talk to her. You'll at least get to be with her again. You know something, Brother Dula? It's a time when you get to see Him who cannot be seen. Mrs. Dula, hang in there. And maybe Mama will still pass away. And they needed maybe just a little bit more time and maybe a little more time to prepare. I don't know. But let me say this to you folks. Hey, when you're going through a heartache, when you're going through a heartbreak, it's a time when you better look up. Why? You may get to see Him who you cannot see. Oh, sick one with a body stricken by disease, you may get to see Him who cannot be seen. You see, during the good times of life, we do not tend to want to see Him. We may need to thank God for the heartache, especially when it qualifies us to see Him who cannot be seen. You know something? Probably the more heartaches in life, the more Jesus sightings. I would not ask God for any of the heartaches that I have suffered in life. But I will tell you this. I would not trade the sightings of Jesus to get out of any of the heartaches I've suffered. Yes, sir. The seeing the One who cannot be seen makes the heartache all worthwhile. You say, well, I went through it and He wasn't there. He was. You were not looking. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. Oh, look up! Look up, my friend! You look up! Because you can see the One who is invisible. Oh my. Oh my. Do I not think that Jesus is with us today? As the choir sang, I see the Lord. As the quartet sang, He arose. Was His presence not clear? Was He not with us? Oh my, I love it. I love what it says about Moses. It said, by faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When you get all the way to down to the verse number 27, it says, he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. Moses kept on going. Moses made it. Moses did the hard thing. How? He had seen the one you cannot see. And I say to you, in times of heartbreak, you may see the one who cannot be seen. Let me say this to you. Secondly, in times of loneliness, you may see him who cannot be seen. The Bible says in Psalm 102, verse number 7, a very, very special verse. It says, I watch and am as a sparrow alone on the housetop. You're going to find yourself alone at times in life. You know, folks, I have to admit to you, and maybe you could admit to me, but let me tell you, there are just some times when no human being understands. And as a pastor, I so long to be there to help you and to meet your needs during your times of burden and heartache. And I will try. I've got to tell you, I'm going to come up short. But I serve a God who has never come up short. I'm sorry. There'll be times when you're alone. There'll be times when I'm alone. There'll be times when I'll try to comfort you and you comfort me, but we just won't be adequate. But I can tell you of the adequate one. I can tell you of the one that's never lost a battle. I can tell you of the one that his love reaches as deep as your loneliness takes you. But I did discover those in the Bible who had the privilege of seeing him who cannot be seen, they saw him when they were alone. These people found themselves alone. The times when I feel like he has been exceptionally close were times when I was alone. When I felt like, I don't think anybody understands. There's nobody else. You know something, when we come to the end of ourselves and begin to realize there's nobody like him, he may show up a little more often. I'll tell you, this will be hard for some of you to understand. When I accepted the call almost 7 years ago, when I accepted the call to become the pastor of this church, I'll be honest, there were some people that were very hard on me about it. Not here, but elsewhere. There are people that said to me, what are you doing? You have such a great future. Why would you go to that little city there in the panhandle of West Virginia? I was told that I would fail. I was told that I was stupid. Someone said, why? Why? Can I tell you why I was so sure? Because when nobody understood, the Lord did. And he said, do this. Do this. And I said, it really doesn't make sense. He said, it didn't have to make sense. He said, do it. Do it. People said, where's Martinsburg, West Virginia? I said, I don't know. We never heard of that church, but God had. But God had. When nobody believes in you, there are times when your God will say, I'll show up. And the real support that you need, my friend, comes from him. And if you don't get it anywhere else, let me say to you, when you're all alone, he is truly all you need. You see, though it was a time of loneliness, Daniel alone in the lion's den. Hey, you remember it? Daniel was told, you may not pray as you pray. Somebody set him up. The next thing you know, they come. They grab him. They throw Daniel into a lion's den. The only people in the lion's den with Daniel was the lions. But you know, through the night, I got a hunch Daniel seen the one you cannot see. Because he came up out of that lion's den whole and a hero. You young people that you live in a home where maybe you don't have a daddy at home. You're prime candidates to see the one who cannot be seen. He said, but for the ones, I'm lonely to have a daddy at my house. And I hurt for you. I hurt for the kids that don't have a mom and dad at home. But you have a Heavenly Father
that you young people would be spiritual long enough, you'd realize that there's a God that loves you and a God that cares for you.
We have some where daddy's doing the rearing and mama has forsaken. And I say to you, you say, Brother Owens, I long for a mama. I long to have a mommy in my home. I understand, and I long for it for you. But let me say, you may get to see the one who cannot be seen. To the widows, that mighty army of ladies, your husband's gone, and you're scared, and you're lonely. And I want you to know this preacher loves you, and I care about you. But let me tell you something. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open in those lonely moments, in those moments of fear. Keep your eyes open. Why? My discovery from the Word of God is this. Those who are lonely are the ones that get to see the one who can't be seen. We have many widowers, men whose wives have passed. I say to you men once again, I know it's lonely. I know you wish you had someone to share the morning cup of coffee with. I know you wish you had someone to listen to the news with. You wish you had somebody to snuggle up by in church in the pew there, and someone that you could spend some time with. And I know that, men. And you're courageous and you're good men and you're strong men. But you're men. You say, Brother Owens, I miss my wife. I know. I know. But keep your eyes open, sir. That very loneliness qualifies you to see the one who cannot be seen. May I say to leaders under attack, feeling all alone like Elijah of old, when you feel that way, you may have the opportunity to see the one who cannot be seen. You see, Stephen was stoned alone. I'm not talking about some of you that went to Joe's Bar and Grill last night and got stoned. That's not what we're talking about here. Stephen was stoned alone. Daniel was alone in the lion's den. John was alone, exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Saul alone saw Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. Moses was alone when he seen the burning bush. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those men, all alone, just the three of them in that furnace, all alone. Were there other Hebrews? Yes, there were. But these three boys alone. See, the unseen one is not usually seen by the crowd. Oh, there are times when the crowd gets to see him, but it's rare. We're not just talking about being physically alone. We're talking about when you come to the point where you feel like he's the only one that can do for you what has to be done. Let me tell you. You say, why does he show up? He loves it when you feel that way about him. He loves it. When you go to God and you say, God, I've sought the help of my wife. I've sought the help of my husband and my preacher and my friends. And I've sought the help of God for you. And you only will do. You can be the only one to come to me and take care of me at this moment. Jesus said, I'm here. I'm here. I was just waiting for you to need me to that extreme. I was waiting for you to realize how bad you need me. I'm coming, my child. I'm here for you. But there are times when you've got to be alone. Some people can't stand to be alone. Some of you, you will never have a close relationship with God until you can spend some alone time. Say, I don't want any heartaches, Brother Owens. I don't want any burdens. Well, I'll tell you what, don't get in a war with the devil. Just don't serve God. Just be a spectator, not a participator, and you will limit the number of battles you have. But let me tell you something. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have the evil one come after you. If you're going to make a difference, the devil's not going to like you, and there are going to be times when you're going to have heartaches and you're going to have burdens as the devil tries to stop you. You say, well, Brother Owens, how will I keep going? Look up! You may get to see the one who cannot see. You may say, but Brother Owens, I'm taking a stand, and I feel all alone. Look up! You may get to see the one who cannot be seen. The unseen one is not seen as much by the crowd as he is seen by the individual. The unseen one wants the lonely to know that they're never truly alone. Let me say thirdly, there's another time that I recognize in the Bible that people were allowed to see the one who cannot be seen. And it is when we bear reproach for the cause of Jesus Christ, we've seen that during heartbreak and heartache, we see the one that cannot be seen. We see that times of loneliness, we get to see the one who cannot be seen. And then thirdly, I believe God comes along, and in honor for our stand and commitment to Him, there are times when we bear reproach for the cause of Christ that we get the privilege of seeing the one who cannot be seen. Hebrews 13:13 says this, "Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach." What's it talking about? It means that you do what's right no matter what it costs you. Hebrews 11:26 says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for He had respect unto the recompense of the reward." That's about Moses. Here it says that Moses, he knew that if he stayed in Pharaoh's household where he had been brought up, that he would have money, he would have honor, he would have fame, he would have luxury, he would have comfort. But Moses said, "I have got to step away from those things for the cause of Jesus Christ. I've got to step away and give it up. I will suffer reproach for the cause of the Lord." Well, what does it say after that? It says he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. What does it mean? When we suffer reproach for right, for doing right, for doing the right thing, Jesus said, "I think you deserve a little glimpse of the glory of Myself." The people in the Bible who saw Him, who cannot be seen, are those who faced reproach for Christ. The times that I have had the privilege of glancing and seeing Jesus, often it's when people or the devil attacks and you suffer reproach for doing what's right. You know, the people in the Bible who saw Him, who cannot be seen, they were not the most popular people in town. They weren't popular to the world. When I tell you some of the stories of the people that had the privilege of being up close to God and seeing Him who cannot be seen, I think you need to understand something. These weren't the most popular people. Hey, they were popular to God. Were they popular to their community or to their friends? Not in most cases. Abel was killed by his own brother. For what? For what he believed about salvation. He was murdered. You talk about family troubles. You see, suffering reproach for Jesus Christ gives you the privilege and the honor and the availability to see Him who cannot be seen. Noah was hated by everybody on the face of the earth except his family. 120 years he preached righteousness. Everybody turned on him. Everybody. You get two people that don't like you and you've got your tail between your legs and you're running for the woods. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. And so, you know, the Bible's true. I don't think they've told you that lately. Hollywood's a lie. The Bible's true. These words abide and they endure forever. This is a true book. When we talk about Joseph being sold, his brothers actually sold him. Sold him. Why? Their jealousy, virtually jealousy of his success. Abel killed by his own brother over what he believed in regard to salvation. Noah, hated by the entire earth for 120 years because of his preaching of righteousness. Joseph, sold into slavery by his own brothers, jealous out of his success. Elijah was chased and hunted until he felt like he was the only one left and standing for the cause of Christ. Everybody was after him in his opinion. Moses was despised by the family that raised him. Right. Moses was raised in the home of Pharaoh. He was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
But there came a point when total opposition came from everybody they grew up with and everybody that had anything to do with. Why? He said, I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to do this even if I have to stand all alone. Somehow you and I get the idea that in this generation of Christianity, everybody's going to love us. We're all going to be popular. Listen, folks, it never has been, nor will it ever be popular to live holy. The unholy will not receive it well. Elisha was mocked by children. Moses despised by the family that raised him. John the Baptist was beheaded. He was beheaded. John the Baptist preached morality. John the Baptist said, you're not to be sleeping with somebody you're not married to. And that's still true today. You're not married and you're pawing all over each other and you're sleeping in fornication or adultery. It's a sin. It's a bad sin. They cut his head off for it. They cut his head off for it. No joke. Not entertainment. Not a children's Bible story that we made up. They cut the preacher's head off because he wouldn't back off. He said, that's wrong and it's sin and you'll be judged for it. They turned on him. Daniel was put into a lion's den. David became a fugitive on the run. Stephen was stoned to death. James was martyred. John the Beloved, the disciple whom Jesus loved, because of his stand for Jesus Christ, was exiled to an island by himself after they boiled him in hot oil. Somebody turned their nose up at you this morning. As you walk through the hallway, you're mad, and you're never coming back to the church. Let me tell you why America will be sold down the river with socialism in generations to come. Because America has no more backbone. America would rather let somebody else take care of them than to stand up and fight and to work hard and build this country with their bare hands back to what it ought to be. America's become lazy. America has become lethargic. America wants everybody to be easy on them and take it easy on them. And gimme, 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 gimme. I'm going to tell you something. There's coming a day in America where you may have to stand up and be counted. You may have to stand up and say, I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. I'm not ashamed of being born again. I'm not ashamed of the Bible. They may say, we'll put you to death. And you say, bring her on, baby. I'm looking for the one who can't be seen. Oh, I'll tell you something. I'm so tired of the main big pimpy wimpy Christians of our day. It takes the slightest little thing. Oh, I'm leaving. Toughen up. Chuck it up. Somebody said, I don't love. Right now, I don't. Elisha, mocked by the children. John the Baptist loses his head. James is martyred. John boiled in oil. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, not because of a chemical imbalance. He was attacked and destroyed and brokenhearted. Folks, I hate to tell you this, because for some of you it'll be a new revelation. Popularity is not really a benefit of real Christianity. Check the catacombs. Luke 6:26 says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did they their fathers to the false prophets. You know, when the good side likes you and the bad side likes you, something's wrong. Stinking politician. Some of you can't stand the politicians for their two-facedness. Christian politician. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We're not talking about your disposition. We're talking about your position. Standing up and being counted. Fundamentalists are not the beloved ones of any city. I don't know if y'all know that. We're different. Yeah.
Never have been. Probably never will be. They are not the sweetheart church of the community. Why? They stand for something most communities don't want. If I had my way, I'd shut every liquor joint down in Berkeley County. Every whorehouse would get shut down. There'd be no pornography sold in this county. And I will get a letter or a phone call by the end of the week after having said that. Fundamentalists never have been popular. They are despised. They are rejected. You may suffer reproach at work because you believe the Bible is the Word of God. Hey, you may suffer reproach with your family because you're in an old-fashioned Baptist church. You may suffer reproach with your neighbors because you live a separated life. You may suffer reproach from some old friends because you have standards. There are things you won't do, places you won't go, things you won't say, things you won't drink, things you won't wear, music you won't listen to, and you say, well, I want everybody to love me. You can't have both. Nothing wrong with wanting both, but it doesn't work that way. You may suffer reproach from old schoolmates because you believe in purity. Say, well, Brother Owens, when I'm rejected and when I am despised and when people they're displeased with me, and all I've done is I've done what's right and I've lived pure and I've tried to be moral and I've stood for what I believe, what do I do? I feel all alone. Then you qualify. Look up. You may get to see the one who's hard to see. How do you know that? Well, the Bible says here in Hebrews 11:26 about Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches than the treasure of Egypt. For he had respected the recompense of the reward. What did he get out of it? The Bible says in verse 27, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If you're here today, you say, I'd really like to see him who is invisible. Look during the burden. Look when you're all alone. Look when you take a stand and the stand costs you something. Look, and you may get to see him who cannot be seen. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may we invite you to the Savior. You need to come to Jesus Christ and get born again. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about the fact that everybody's a sinner. We're talking about that there is a penalty for that sin. That penalty is separated from God. And it is death and hell for all eternity. But Jesus made it so we would not have to suffer that death in hell. Through His death, through His burial, through His resurrection, God's made it available to you to be born again. Not by your works of righteousness, but according to His mercy, He will save you. It's not by getting baptized. It's not by giving your money. It's not by doing good deeds. It's by realizing you're a sinner and you deserve to go to hell and the Savior paid your sin debt for you and you accept that as your payment. You ask Him into your heart to be your Savior. You can go to heaven when you die. Somebody here needs to do that. You need to settle that. There's some Christians here who need to get your eyes back on Jesus. I think you could have the privilege of seeing Him.